وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا to our esteemed listeners of Book of Sahaba, Voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Allah Ta'ala grant all of us afiyat, and to our esteemed listeners of Radio Al Ansar International on this beautiful Monday morning, the 28th of October, corresponding with the 24th of Rabiul Akhir. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us afiyat and good health. Alhamdulillah wahdahu wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da wa ala alihi wa ashabihi alladhina awfa'u ahda الَّذِينَ هُمْ مَفَاتِيحُ الرَّحْمَةِ وَمَصَابِيحُ الْغُرَرِ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِي الْقُرْآنِ الْمَجِيدِ وَالْفُرْقَانِ الْحَمِيدِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم التائب من الذنب كمن لا ذنب له أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله مولانا العظيم. حضرت مفتي عبد القادر صاحب, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban to you. May Allah Ta'ala bless you and Apa with afiyat and good health. Hazrat Mufti Sahab, the platform is yours.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum ana Salim Kareem. Ameen, ameen, ameen to all the wonderful du'as and supplications. Jazakallahu khairan to our technicians, Brother Junaid Khan and Brother Zakaria. Nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal 'alimul hakim. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Today is the 24th of Rabi'ul Akhir, 1446. This week, Saturday night, Insha'Allah al-Aziz, we will scan the sky, and that should usher in the new month, the month of Jumad al-Ula, Insha'Allah, Insha'Allah al-Aziz. Nevertheless, so let us continue with our tafsir and commentary of the Noble Quran. With the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala, we commence the 24th part of the Noble Quran. On Saturday, we completed the 23rd part. Allah Jalla wa'ala accepted in His Divine Court, Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul alim. So today our lesson is chapter 39, Surah Az-Zumar, and verses 32, 33, and 34. Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala states, Faman adhlamu, and who can be a bigger oppressor, tyrant? Meaning, this is a istifham inkar, a rhetorical question, that this person here definitely is the biggest oppressor and tyrant. فَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ كَذَبَ عَلَى اللَّهِ, that who can be a bigger oppressor than him, that person who lies against Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala, Allah forbid. They say Allah has children, Allah has partners, Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala has associates, and so forth. thoughts and so on. So they are the biggest oppressors. Inna shirka la zulmun azim. Chapter number 31, verse number 13. Almighty Allah says that those people who have ascribed somebody, something to Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, they are guilty of the greatest and biggest oppression. So there you have it, and this ayat is corroborating that as well in chapter 31, verse 13. فَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ كَذَبَ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Who can be a bigger oppressor and tyrant than him? The person who lies against Almighty Allah. وَكَذَّبَ بِصِدْقِ. And he rejects the truth. Is جَاءَ. When the truth comes to him. So now, when the truth dawns on that person, he rejects it. The wahi, the revelation comes to him. The Quran Sharif comes to him. The Sunnah Mubarakah comes to him. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they witnessed, met the Master alayhi salam in that time, and yet they rejected the message and the messenger, Allah forbid. Like today, 8 billion plus people, and you see 7 billion plus people are rejecting Islam, the message and the messenger, Allah forbid. So then, according to our Islamic terminology, they are the biggest oppressors, because they are not prepared to embrace the truth when it comes to them. أَلَيْسَ فِي جَهَنَّمَ مَثْوًا لِلْكَافِرِينَ. What? Is there not an abode for them? Meaning for who? These people, للكافرين, those who are the disbelievers, those who reject the truth. Is there not a place and abode for them there in Jahannam? مَثْوَى, the abode, the place of staying, للكافرين, for the non-Muslims. Meaning definitely there is a place for them, and that is what will happen. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us in chapter 33 and verses number 64-65, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَعَنَ الْكَافِرِينَ وَعَدَّ لَهُمْ سَعِيرًا. Verily Almighty Allah Jalla Wala has cursed the non-Muslims and prepared for them the furnace, the blazing fire. This is for those of them who are sane and mature, people who are children, minors, people who are insane and so forth. Through the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah, they will enter paradise and Jannah. So, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَعَنَ الْكَافِرِينَ وَعَدَّ لَهُمْ سَعِيرًا خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. They will dwell and stay there in Jahannam, in the furnace and inferno, forever and ever, eternal doom and gloom for them. Allah protect us. لَا يَجِدُونَ وَلِيًّا وَلَا نَصِيرًا. There is no helper, no protector, nobody for them. Chapter 33, verses 64-65. وَالَّذِي جَاءَ بِالصِّدْقِ. And that being Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who came with the truth. He brought the Quran Sharif, the Wahi, the Sunnah Mubarakah, teaching, preaching of the Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All that is Wahi as well, and revelation directly from Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Chapter 53, verses number 3 and 4. The Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْوِي يُوحَىٰ. That he does not speak of his own desires regarding matters of Sharia and deen and religion, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but it is إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْوِي يُوحَىٰ. But it is wahi, revelation sent to him by Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. So Quran Sharif is wahi and revelation. The Sunnah Mubarakah is revelation. Revelation. One is wahi matlu, what we recite in our salat. Just now you go and read Fajr Salat. So you read verses, passages from the Noble Quran. You can't read from the Sunnah Mubarakah, innamal a'malu bin niyat and so forth. And the other wahi is wahi ghair matlu, that cannot be recited in the salat, in your namaz. So that is what is meant. Walladhi ja'a bisidqi. So he, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who brought the truth, was saddaqa bihi, and the truth which he brought was confirmed as well. Confirmed by who? So Siddiq Akbar, was saddaqa bihi. When did Mustafa Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam call him for Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu Siddiq, the greatest Siddiq of this ummah, to be very, very truthful on the miraculous journey, nocturnal journey of Isra and Mi'raj, when the Master alayhi salatu salam, after the demise of Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu anha, Abu Talib did not embrace Islam. The Master alayhi salatu salam was very sad. And this was when the Master alayhi salatu salam was 51 years old. It is known as Amul Huzan, the year of sadness and grief. Allah Jalla Wala said, I will take you for a special journey, the miraculous nocturnal journey, the beginning of the 15 Jews, the 15th part of the Noble Quran, chapter 17, verse 1. Subhanalladhi asra bi abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa. So that part of the journey is known as Isra. And thereafter, meeting the Prophet's messengers in Masjid al-Aqsa, in Palestine, in Jerusalem, Al-Quds, Baytul Maqdis, Baytul Muqaddas, then we find the Mi'raj. Almighty Allah speaks of this in chapter 53, Surah Al-Najmi, the star, verses 1 to 18. And Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala elevates the rank and status of the Master alayhi salam. And when then he, the Master alayhi salam, said, all this happened in a portion of the night, Abu Jahl and company started mocking Allah forbid and ridiculing the Master sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then they told Sayyid Abu Bakr, are you going to believe this? He said, if the Master told me, definitely I would believe in it, unconditionally, unreservedly. فَسَمَّاهُ صِدِّيقًا. He, Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, called him Siddiq. So it shows that the title was conferred upon Sayyid Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu by none other than Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wa saddaqa bihi. And he confirms Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wasallam, ulaika hum al-muttaqun. Those are the people who have the real taqwa, piety, Allah consciousness. They fulfill the obligations of Almighty Allah, and they fulfill the rights of human beings and creation simultaneously. So once a person dies with Iman, Islam, and now that person, there, where will he go? He goes to Jannat al-Firdaus. And that is the paradise, everlasting bliss, everlasting joy and prosperity. لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. For them is whatever they desire by their sustainer, nourisher, provider, Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. But who will receive all this? ذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. That is the reward for the muhsineen, those who fulfill their duty with beauty, those who fulfill their duty with sincerity. And therefore Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us, all this that we enjoy in this world is just a bonus. The real optimum, maximum reward is in the year after. فَآتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ ثَوَابَ الدُّنْيَا وَحُسْنَ ثَوَابِ الْآخِرَةِ. And Almighty Allah Jalla Wala has given them reward in this worldly life. So all this health, wealth, honor, dignity, whatever Allah has given us, so the wealth of Iman, Islam, all that, so that is the bonus, remember. The real reward, maximum, optimum reward, وَحُسْنَ ثَوَابِ الْآخِرَةِ. And that will be in the year after, where no worry, no sorry, everything we desire, same time it will be fulfilled. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. That's why I mentioned this verse. Surah chapter number 3, Surah Al-Imran, verse 148. Almighty Allah loves those who fulfill their duty with beauty and sincerity. Yeah, Allah is saying, ذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Every action, every speech of ours should be well measured and should be done for the love and pleasure of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, and not that we go and fulfill the world what our worm's fancies are telling us, or Satan, Shaitan, Lucifer is telling us, then we can become muhsineen. Obviously there are different grades and categories as well there. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We present to you the news, views, interviews today, the 24th of Rabi'ul Akhir, 1446, Gaza genocide 388. So Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, one Palestinian with his truck, with his bus, whatever you want to call it, rams into the IDF soldiers, and remember, plus minus 40 of them injured, 10 of them seriously, one was killed and dispatched to hell also, roasted, toasted, Alhamdulillah. Yesterday, last night, I sent out the thing, how some jutlas were roasted, toasted, and so forth. One was a rabbi also, so Alhamdulillah, we're very, very happy and proud about that. 85 Jutla soldiers injured during the weekend. So our brothers of Hezbollah, they are our brothers in humanity, and our Hamas, remember, they are our brothers in humanity and in faith in Islam. Hamas are Sunnis, Alhamdulillah. They injured 85 soldiers during the weekend, Alhamdulillah. The Jutlas now are speaking about ceasefire. Now they want to start negotiations. Whenever they're losing, then they will change their tune and so forth. 25 of them were killed by Hamas and by the Hezbollah during the weekend. And in some reports, it's even more and so forth. Because whenever they are losing men and women, the soldiers, then they suppress the news. And then they bring about censorship and so forth. No international journalists are allowed in Gaza. This is what the Jutlas are always trying to, you understand, that they censor and hide and conceal from their own public. So you see, Saturday night, so now their Sabbath and Sabbath is finished, so the Jutlas are marching, thousands and thousands of them. So while he was speaking, remember BB, they said, shame on you BB, shame on you Netanyahu, shame on you war criminal, the Jews protesting, and they say, bring back the hostages, bring back the hostages, seal the deal. So Israel kills 3 journalists. Remember what Israel has done in the past year. They killed the maximum amount of United Nations, remember, staff. Never ever did it happen in UN history that so many members of United Nations were killed in a conflict like this. So many people, journalists, that is from Palestine and outside also, that they came in under Jazeera and so forth, were martyred and murdered if they were Muslims, and otherwise we say they were killed. And this is where the Israelis, guilty of genocide, ethnic cleansing, war crimes, crimes against humanity, and every crime you can think of. Gallant tells BB, this is the defense minister, telling the prime terrorist and Netanyahu that this war is going without a compass. We ourselves don't know what the hell we are doing. Now imagine a defense minister, what they call during a war and conflict, is telling the prime terrorist and prime minister that we don't know which direction we are going on. And this is mentioned in your Haaretz newspaper. So what does that tell you? Remember that Hamas, limited resources, and but the greatest wealth they have, the wealth of Iman and Islam, and they say no surrender, imma az-zafar wa imma shahada, as Almighty Allah states, ihdal husnayin, either we go for complete victory or either we go for martyrdom, both are a victory in the year after for us as Muslims. And the Jutlas chapter 62 verse number 8, إن الموت الذي تفرون منه فإنه ملاقيكم أي جتلا أي جتلي أو حرامي. You're running away from death, will not allow you to escape death. Death will reach you wherever you are. ثم تردون إلى عالم الغيب والشهادة. Then you'll be returned to Almighty Allah, whose knowledge is all embracing, all encompassing. فينبئكم بما كنتم تعملون. Hence Almighty Allah will inform you of all your vices, sins, terrorism, and war crimes and everything else. So there you have it. You can see there's big tensions and conflict in their own circles. BRICS, remember, that is now the countries Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, and now they got 30 or more countries joining them. They just released a manifesto of theirs in 134 paragraphs. So that is how they're challenging the West and the hegemon hegemony of the West and so forth. And Israel, again from the Haaretz newspaper, Israel security is crumbling. Imagine their own newspaper is telling you all these things, and this is one of the most credible newspapers, their English newspapers, they remember in occupied Palestine, Israel. So there, Georgia, the votes are con, as far as the elections go, the votes go, they say many, many irregularities and problems and rigging and so forth and so on. So this elections, remember nowadays, is all to do with bribery, corruption. You see this side and that side, that whether it's Trump, whether it's Kamala Harris and so forth, they try and bring the celebrities, and this one is supporting us and that one is supporting us. So yesterday I read an article, it made me laugh and I chuckled, you know. They say it seems like, so meaning they can't prove it, you understand, 100%, but maybe 70-80%. It seems like most men there in America on next week Tuesday, not this Tuesday, next week, so they will be voting for Trump. And most women will be voting for Kamala Harris. So if that is the case, then and all of them vote, then Kamala Harris will win, because there's no more women than men. So, but they say it is a tight race, and let's see what happens and so forth. Egypt, the Pharaoh, Sisi, another harami murtad also, and he proposes a two-day ceasefire. He says in this two-day ceasefire, then the Hamas will release 4 hostages, and Israel must release some people. They don't specify. So Hamas say that we want peace on 2 conditions: complete withdrawal of all Israeli Jewish forces from Gaza al-Mubarakah, and secondly, that there must be a permanent ceasefire. Then we can speak really about peace. So you occupied Palestine from the past 76, 77, 78 years, if you look at the massacres that took place before Israel, the apartheid terrorist Nazi regime was established by the Irgun gang, the Haganah gang, the Stern gang, and what massacres. The British press and the British people called them the Jutlas at that time, that they are terrorists. The first people to be called terrorists were the Jutlas themselves, were the Jews by the British. So Israel attacks Iran, but it is a very limited attack, and remember, therefore, Gideon Levy says that they showed a lot of restraint, at least for this time. So comparatively, very little damage to Iran, and both sides are, you must say, saber-rattling, both our enemies, the Jews and the Shias, both Pakka, Kuffar, and non-Muslims. Russia defends itself from Ukraine attacks. Obviously, Russia is winning, and all the money they have poured in there, all gone to waste, and they just squandered it. This is how Allah Ta'ala, understand, works, but we don't understand. Allah ki bed, Allah hi jante hai. Allah secrets, only He knows. What can we know with our puny little brains and so forth? Allah's knowledge, infinite, everything of all, might Allah Jalla wa'ala, unlimited, and everything of ours is limited. Morales, the former president of Bolivia, survives an assassination attempt, and they wanted to kill him. They were shooting there in the direction of his car, but he survived and so forth. Lithuania, whatever the country's name, very small little country, says the United Nations Secretary General Guterres must resign. Why must he resign? Because why did he go to Russia for the BRICS summit and so forth? So obviously these are the chumchas, and these are the, you understand, allies and spies of United States and so forth. So small country want to speak against Russia. Russia will finish it up in 1 day, 1 week, and end of the story. I went there, Bolivia and so forth. So you must remember to these places here. So Lithuania is a small country if you see it. Then in Philippines, another disaster, 136 people dead there. Allah Jalla wa'ala protect the human beings, Muslims especially, wherever they are. Sometimes there are cyclones, sometimes hurricanes, sometimes tsunami, sometimes earthquake, and Allah alone knows what and what. Allah is teaching us, fa'alul lima yurid, He does as He pleases, and no one can question the authority of Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala. So now let us give you some South African news, that now the media is full of it. That the nikah, Muslim nikahs and marriages, are recognized for the first time in South African history in more than 350 years, and the DA and them are taking credit for that. But you have to look at the ramifications and the consequences. Yesterday I sent out the brilliant article by Mufti Advocate, remember, Imran Vauda. He's one of the senior ulama there in Natal in South Africa, and he's an advocate as well. So you must read that and see how this will impact upon us negatively. So we shouldn't just look at what the media is telling us. We must look at it, what will happen if we just fall into their trap, and so forth and so on. Mateshe is the big shot of the ANC. He says we have to work very hard to rally support. How are you going to get support when you get 75 ministers and deputy ministers, and there's no service delivery? So many places nowadays, no water, no electricity, and they're having huge problems. Last night somebody contacted us from Lands, and they said they, in certain extensions, for how many hours they don't have electricity and so forth. So I'm just speaking of the weekend now. So big problems, remember, everywhere if you look at it. Allah have mercy on us, remember this. So they say that South Africa will again submit, you must remember, and file charges of genocide against Israel today. But remember, this is a long drawn process. By the time the verdict is given, maybe Netanyahu and all of them will be dead already. So therefore, I don't have any confidence in this ICJ and so forth. So long, they take years and years and years and all these type of things here. So anyway, our programs for today, inshallah, 8:30 to 9, Mona Zaid will interview me. A lot of people now are deciding to go for Umrah now, November, December. So we need to prepare the people and educate them. So we will discuss many, many different items and subjects related to Umrah, inshallah. 1 to 2 will be Tafsir, inshallah, of the Noble Quran. 2 to 2:30, the report back of last week's activities. 8 to 10 tonight, inshallah, will be the Q&A with Hafiz Wadi, inshallah, Aziz. Morana, we have 20 minutes left, inshallah. So let us go with a rapid, quick-fire Q&A. Barakallahu feekum.
First question, Mufti Saab. Is it permissible for women to go to the gym and exercise?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Take one Quranic verse, one Sunnah Mubarakah, and then we will understand the answer. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala informs us in chapter 33, Surah Ahzab, the coalition, and verse 33, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ. You women must stay glued to your homes, meaning stay indoors. If and when the need arises, وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَ تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَةِ الْأُولَى. Then if you go out, if there's a need and necessity and so forth, then do not expose your beauty as the women who do initially during the first period of ignorance. Now we're living in the second period of ignorance. Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's hadith, authentic hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, إِذَا خَرَجَتِ الْمَرْأَةِ, when a Muslim lady leaves her home, وَهِيَ مُتَعَتِّرَةً, and she applied the perfume and makeup and lipstick and the stick and what have you, فَمَرَّتْ بِمَجْلِسِ كَذَا وَكَذَا, and she passed the men and so forth, فَيَا زَانِيَا, she is akin to being a lady who is an adulteress. Whose words are this? Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's look at the reality of it. You, my sister, you say you want to go to the gym. So you will be wearing a tracksuit, or you will be wearing some tight clothes and so forth. Then the men are there, the music is there, and then you are stretching your leg this way, that way, all that hair exposed and what have you. From A to Z, everything haram. You say, no, it's only ladies' gym and no music, still it's haram. Why? How can you, if we have haya, shame, modesty, go stretch our legs this way, that way, and our body parts in front of another lady? So in Islam, haya, shame, modesty is an integral part of our iman. إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحْيِ فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِئِتْ. When a person does not have haya, shame and modesty, then they will do as they please. So we will pass the ruling and verdict, totally haram. You want to exercise, do in your house. So who is prohibiting you? Nobody will prevent you then. So this is all just an excuse. And وَزَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. Satan, Lucifer, Shaitan, he beautifies and adorns and embellishes all the vices. Allah Jalla Wala protect us.
Mufti Sahab, can I take an injection while fasting?
To take injections while fasting, totally permissible, whether it's on your arm, on your hand, or whether on your posterior, at the back, and all that, totally permissible. Your fast will be valid, whether it is this fast nowadays, today, Monday, you are keeping a fast, Sunnat fast, or Qadha fast, or Ramadan fast, all that will be valid, no problem with that.
Mufti Sahab, can a lady do cupping while in the state of menses?
We will never ever recommend that. You must remember, when a lady is in her haiz, her menses, she's already, you know, bleeding and what have you. She's already feeling weak. And now you go and do cupping and so forth. So this will just make your condition deteriorate and go from bad to worse. So we would not recommend that. Remember, there is nothing there that you must do it on a certain date and so forth and so on. 17th, 19th, 21 is recommended, but it's not a must or something. So remember, our advice to you, sister, daughter, will be, when your menses is finished and now you are tahira, you are clean and so forth, then you go to another lady, a preferably Muslim lady. If there's no Muslim, then non-Muslim lady also is fine. And then you go for cupping whilst you are tahira, you are clean, not during your menses. We will never recommend it, because you must remember, you can create health problems for yourself.
Mufti Sahab, can zakat funds be used to sponsor a borehole?
If you are using zakat funds to sponsor a borehole, it's not permissible. You go to a poor area, and for example, there are Muslims and non-Muslims living there, and now you use zakat funds, and then you say, this well, this borehole is for y'all. So who are the owners? We don't even know who are the owner. In zakat, whether it's cash or kind or whatever form, then tamlik must be done. Tamlik means you must make somebody the owner, whether it's a person, whether it's a family, and those people, the recipients, must be poor, poor Muslims. So you just go to a township and put it up with zakat funds, the zakat is not valid. Second one is this, that you go and give it to a family. For example, there's a Muslim family, they are in dire straits and so forth. Instead of giving them the money, you go and dig up the borehole, and then you tell them that, see, this borehole is for you, you are the owners. But we can just make a suggestion that all these people, yeah, that you must give them the water free of charge. You can't make it a condition. You can make it a suggestion and so forth. So then it would be permissible, provided that the entire family, all are Muslims and they are poor, and you made them the unconditional, unfettered owner, so then it would be permissible.
Mufti Sahab, can a person go to a girl and tell her that he's interested in her and would like to speak to her father?
Totally not permissible. Imagine every second lady you see in the street, you see in the mall, you meet in the market, you say, I want to marry you. What? It will lead to great chaos. She will sway you, she might even raise her hands, or she might even smile or whatever. So all this is haram. Quran Kareem teaches us, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Do not even go near fornication, adultery. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَا. It is something obscene, indecent. وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. What a horrible path and road to take. So Islam wants, I told you just now, we must fulfill our duty with beauty. Imagine your daughter, 16, 18, 20 years old, is walking, and a stranger just comes and say, I want to propose to you, I want to get married to you, I want to see your father. So how will Islam allow that? It never allow these things. So you must tell your parents, O suitor, O shooter, that they must contact the girl's parents and say, our son is interested in your daughter and so forth. So you start the negotiations in a such a manner that is a respectable manner. Not that you just go directly to the girl and say, I want to marry you and so forth. Islam will never allow this type of things. Yeah. Then you will have all the smiling, and then you will have the dating, courting, all that nobody knows. And therefore, Islam has made this very clear both ways. Normally, Quran Sharif, Allah Jalla Wala mentioned once in the masculine. And then Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam said, Inna Nisa'a Shaqa'iqu Rijal, that the laws that are applicable to the men, normally it is applicable to the women also, open Mishkat Sharif. So in most cases, but you must remember that here Nabi alayhi salam, here Allah Ta'ala mentioned it separately for male and female. Wala muttakhidina akhdan, wala muttakhidati akhdan. You the man, you cannot have a girlfriend, you can't have a mistress. You the woman, you can't have a boyfriend, you can't have a sugar daddy and so forth. So therefore, what you're suggesting, brother, Islam totally haram. We solve the problem by going to the roots. And the non-Muslims, all their systems, they will go to the fruit, they will go to the top. There's a pandemic with AIDS, there's a pandemic with so many other crimes and so forth. But what happens? That they will tell you, give everybody a condom and so forth. So this is the kuffar way of solving problems. We say go to the roots and eliminate it from there.
Okay, so what is the criteria to choose a bride, sir?
Whenever there is selection of spouse, so remember that nowadays we make a huge mistake. In most our cases, I don't say all, but 60, 70, 80%, two-thirds and so forth, that you will see, therefore, the marriages today are crumbling. Our Muslims, they just get married, and every second, third, fourth marriage is then in divorce after 6 months, 1 year. And then everybody is crying, and all the hopes, aspirations are dashed and so forth. So let us come to number one. Now you, the Muslim youngster boy, you 20, 21, 25, you want to get married. So what is your criteria? Normally, in most instances, you will just look at the jamal, the beauty of that lady there. And how dori-dori, that's Maimon, how white she is, how fair in complexion she is. Whether she has taqwa, piety, whether she has deen, that is all secondary, Allah forbid. And then the women and the lady and her family, when the suitor, shooter comes to look at their daughter, sister, niece, then they only interested in most cases in the mal. Jamal and Mal. Jamal is the beauty and Mal is the wealth and status and so forth. So when we make that the criteria, it is a recipe for disaster. Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith in Mishkat Sharif, Tunkahul mar'a li arba'in, a woman normally you will get married to her for one of these four reasons. Limaliha, for her wealth. Wali Jamaliha, for her beauty. And Wali Hasabiha, for her strength in society. Does she belong to the elite group, or does she belong to the lower groups and so forth? First, for walidiniha, and for her piety, character, commitment to deen. First, for bidati deen, you will be successful with deen. So that is Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaching us, and this hadith is authentic Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad. But who does that today? 1/3 of the ummah, 20%, 25%, 80%, 75%. Majority of them, they'll make yeah, but they will not practice on it. They will still look at mal and make that criteria number one. They will look at jamal, the beauty, and make that criteria number one. And when things don't work out, then they say, then why didn't you advise us? But what are we doing? We're giving you advice. I mentioned it yesterday, mashallah, that we have a brother, Hafiz Ashraf Bayat. He's there in Trichat, where I was Saturday, Sunday, to visit my sister. Allah give her complete shifa. And all those who are ill and sick, Allah Ta'ala grant them shifa kamil, ajil, mustamil. Nevertheless, so I asked him, the brothers are saying you're not married. It's true. I always thought you married. Said, no, he's not married. He is our Hafiz Qari, A.K. Abdul Khaliq Bayat, Rahimahullah, son, mashallah. Hafiz Ab Qari Sahib passed away about 15, 16 months ago. Allah grant him and all the marhumin Jannat al-Firdaus. So last night also some people wanted, please send us Hafiz Ashraf's number. So if any one of you, mashallah, you got daughters, they want to settle down, they're 20, 25, 30 years old, so you just send me a message, write Hafiz Ashraf. Don't make long stories. I don't have time for long stories. So please keep it short and sweet, and inshallah, remember, we will forward it to you. Then the father and Hafiz Ashraf can speak. So that should be the, I recommend him 100% inshallah. Wala uzakki alallahi ahad. So that is what we know of him, and Allah knows best. So that is what we should try and do, get our sons, daughters, all of them married. But the first criteria must be deen, Islam, and our commitment to Islam.
Mufti Saab, is it permissible to lease a premise for church purposes?
Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us in the noble Quran, the golden maxim and teaching, Surah 5, Chapter 5, Surah Ma'idah, verse number 2, وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. You must cooperate and assist one another in piety and righteousness. وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. And do not cooperate and assist with one another in sin and transgression, and so forth. Now what are you doing? You are taking your premises and now you want to lease it out, rent it out to the church and so forth, where they will be promoting kufr, shirk, and making a mockery of Islam, insulting Nabi alayhi salatu salam, Allah forbid, Allah forbid. We know that these type of things go on, you must remember. So therefore, not permissible, brother. Stay away from it. Man taraka shay'an lillah, awwadahullahu khayran min. If you left out something solely, only, exclusively, for the love and pleasure of Almighty Allah Jalla wala, Allah will give you a better replacement, a ni'mal badal. So you have your premises, it's vacant, you worried the rental you will lose. Allah Jalla wala, out of His infinite grace and mercy, will give you someone better. Not permissible.
Mufti Saab, if a lady finishes her menses, must she read her miss salat?
There is ijma and consensus on these two issues according to us, the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, all four schools, Sahaba, Tabi'in, Sahaba, the companions and students of the Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Tabi'in, the successors, those who are the students of the Sahaba, all four schools, Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanafi's, Hanbali's, all say a lady is in a menses, her habit is 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 days. Now she's finished with that, she takes a mandatory bath, compulsory bath, as enshrined in the noble Quran, chapter 2, Surah Baqarah, verse 2, 2, 2. Many twos there. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيطِ. That's how the verse starts. They ask you, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, regarding the menses and so forth. So once you are sure everything is finished, then you must take a bath and compulsory bath. And all the salat you must during your menses, during your nifas, your postnatal, you gave birth, and then you were bleeding for 20, 25, 30, 35 days and so forth. So that is sakrit. Sakrit means that whilst you are in menses, whilst you are in postnatal, you will not be performing reading salat. And the qaza of it also is waived off. Why? Al-haraj madfu'un fil Islam. Thus is haraj, is great difficulty every month you experience. Experiencing it. So therefore it's maaf, so you don't have to do it. Yes, fasting during the month of Ramadan, so now you experience your menses and so forth, so 8-9 days, 6 days, so there qada will be compulsory because you got 11 other months for the qada, so there's no problem in that. Then now you are must fast there 8 days, 9 days, 10 days, so in that 11 months, every month you keep one fast, it will suffice also. So So in this example I'm giving, so in a case like that, because the Shafi'is, they say maximum is 15 days, Hanafis say maximum is 10 days for menses and so forth. So fasting, remember, qada will be compulsory, the Ramadan fast. But your 5 daily salat is saqit, is totally waived off. La ada'a wa la qada'a. During the time you don't read it, and nor do you make qada'a of it afterwards as well. And on that there's ijma and consensus. Last question, Mawlana.
Okay, so when is it sunnah to host a walima?
So remember that walima must be done. Yesterday you got married, your son, your daughter. So today, the Monday, that is after husband, wife have now spend the night together, time together, to consummate the marriage, is not a condition or prerequisite for the validity of the walima. So now your husband, ABC, XYZ, you got married yesterday after Zohar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. You spend the night last night together. So today you have walima. So you just give out some fruit. You give out some dessert. You give out a meal. So anything simple. But we want to push it up. It must be in the civic center. It must be in the hotel. We have to put parda and covering on the chairs. 90%, 80% of the women will not be wearing parda. So that is our problem we're having nowadays. Remember this. People call us to perform nikah. We perform the nikah in the masjid, but we have to then apologize and say, I can't come to the function. You know what happens there. The intermingling, the videos, and sometimes the music, and what, the whole function gets tainted and polluted. So therefore, if you want to keep it the same day permissible, yesterday after Asr, after Zohar, you have nikah, and then the husband, wife go into khalwa, half an hour, 20 minutes, they kiss, they smooch, they touch one another, and so forth, and thereafter the same day you have walima, totally permissible, no problem. Barakallahu fiqh, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.